We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hello, and welcome to Redemption Church. It is great to see y'all in the house of God tonight. Thank you for joining us, and thank you all, those of you tuning in online. We are glad you're checking us out. If this message blesses you, or if it weirds you out, feel free to share it. Get a heading check, show it to somebody, and be like, does this weird to you too? Leave a comment, maybe. That'd be great. React. We'd love to know you're out there. And we'd really love it if you came to visit us. We'd like to meet you in person. All right, I am very excited about this message tonight, and I feel blessed with the privilege of being able to deliver it. But before we get started, there's the tree. What series are we talking about? Write your story. Excellent work. He didn't have to put it up. You remembered. Thank you. Yeah. That's fantastic. We're in the middle of our Write Your Story sermon series. We've talked about beginning with the end in mind. We've talked about the characters in your story. We talked about the decisions that you make as you write your story. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about a subject near and dear to all of our hearts, and that is redemption. You may have heard that word somewhere. We're going to be talking about it tonight. But before we begin, for those of you playing along at home, and for those of you confused in the seats here, you should have a spoon near you. Yes, sir. All right, so those will be important later.
Ice cream.
Yeah, no, sorry, I'm not that cool. Oh. But for those of you playing along at home, now's the time to pause the video, go get some disposable spoons, and keep them at hand. Because when I mention spoons in my message, that's your cue to shout spoon and throw your spoons.
All right.
But I'm going to return fire, and I'm a pretty good shot. All right. So welcome back. I hope you got your spoons. No, just kidding. Grab some extra ones from nearby. Darn it. Played myself. All right. One other thing I wanted to note. We've been going through this series for 4 weeks. For some of the younger people in the audience, that thing at the bottom, that's a typewriter. There may be people who do not know what that is. We've been putting that up there week after week. Yes, back in the Fred Flintstone days, that's how you would type out a paper. All right, so we're in the middle of Write Your Story. I love stories. I love stories. I sort of collect stories. So, for instance, do you know the story of the 1992 Lithuanian men's basketball team?
No.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised. So, I'll tell it briefly. In 1992, the recently liberated nation of Lithuania, they'd just been released from the USSR, realized, hey, we've got a pretty good men's basketball team. And the Summer Olympics are taking place this year in Barcelona, Spain. Let's see if they can get in. And what do you know? They qualified. Cool. But then they found out that they have to provide their own uniforms. They didn't realize this. They were kind of a scratch group of guys. And so then they're like, oh no, we can't go to the Olympics because we don't have team uniforms. So somehow, through the providence of the Almighty or something, the Grateful Dead, the band.
Woo!
Yo, Pastor Chris is a fan.
Deadhead.
Yes, the band, the Grateful Dead, heard about this situation and said, hey, you know what? We make clothes all the time. We can hook you up with some uniforms. And the Lithuanian basketball team said, okay, what else we got? And so the Grateful Dead made uniforms for them that looked like this. My wife got this for me last year for my birthday. So the colors, yellow, red, and green, are the colors of the Lithuanian flag. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Here, for everyone. The, and obviously you have to have a skeleton dunking it right in the middle, and then they put their numbers on the back. And they made them matching tie-dyed short shorts. And so there was a team in the Olympics in 1992 playing basketball in this against the greatest basketball players in the world.
Excellent.
Which was true, because what the Summer Olympics of 92 is most well known for is the Dream Team. And that's when America had the cast of Space Jam school the world in playing basketball. We put all our pro players up, and of course they won the gold. So, but they got to play against a bunch of guys wearing this. Now that story's pretty good, but it gets even better when you find out the Lithuanian team won the bronze.
That's
yes,
good.
They were that good. And they were on the little medal award ceremony podium wearing this. Yes, I love stories like that. I love stories. Whew. Oh, if you want to learn more, there's a documentary called The Other Dream Team, and you can go look it up and see it all documented there. So, when you look at it, why did I start with that random story? Because I wanted to show off my cool t-shirt. No, because when you look at it, that story is a story of redemption. That team had what it took, but almost didn't get to play until a very random third party stepped in and said, hey, we want to help you out. And it was weird, but they went with it and ended up meddling in the Summer Olympics. That's a story of redemption. There it is. Oh, thank you, Google. We did it. So that's a story of redemption. What do you remember from Marshall's sermon? These guys in tie-dye. That's all I remember. Okay, take that down. It's distracting. So we're talking about redemption tonight. This is Redemption Church. We all ought to know what redemption is. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So the Internet Dictionary defines redemption as the action of saving or being saved from something bad, like sin or error or evil, something like that. Or redemption can also mean the action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing a debt. All right? So that's what redemption means. And we love stories of redemption.
Yes,
we love stories where someone gets saved from something that looks really bad, and then it gets taken away at the last minute.
Yeah.
Or the really bad person turns around at the last minute and does something great. We love stories like that. We love stories when the little guy is getting crushed under some big debt, and then suddenly it gets wiped away and he's set to sail. We love stories like that. We also love Star Wars, and we reference it like almost every sermon in this series. Yeah, so, but there's a redemption story in there in the first three movies. The biggest, worst bad guy, Darth Vader, he's 6 foot tall and bulletproof. Almost literally, he can choke you with his mind.
Yes.
And has this massive army under his control, is hunting after Luke Skywalker. And then you find out Luke is his son, but he's still coming. He still wants to get Luke. And then at the end, spoiler alert, at the end of the last movie, Return of the Jedi, they're in a fight, and Luke decides, you know what? I don't want to kill my dad. And then Darth Vader's boss says, kill him. Cool. He's dropped his weapon. He's let his guard down. Kill him. And Darth Vader says, So the Emperor says, I'll do it myself, and starts attacking Luke, Darth Vader's son. And then something happens where Darth Vader says, No. No. I work for you. I've done all this stuff for you. But I'm not going to let you kill my son. I'm not on board for this. So he picks him up and throws him down this chute to kill him. It didn't take, according to the new trailers for the new movie. I don't know. But Darth Vader got it. He's been this awful, terrifying presence throughout the movies. And then at the end, he does something great and steps in to save the main guy. Yeah. And in the process, it damages him in such a way that now he's going to die. So he sacrificed himself to save his son. And at the end, it brought him back to the good side. And he dies a good guy. That's redemption. We love stories like that. Yeah. Ooh, what just happened? All right. My microphone just got redeemed. We love stories like that. But what about stories that aren't so good? Have you ever heard of a movie called The Room? There are movies where redemption doesn't happen. There are movies where the main bad guy doesn't get redeemed in the end. He doesn't turn around. But some of those movies can still be quite good. But then there are movies that are just plain bad. They're just bad throughout. They're awful movies. Ishtar, bad movies. What redeems that? What fixes that? When you see a movie, you sit down, you watch it, and then at the end you're like, what did I just sit through? I want my hour and a half back. Ugh, terrible. So, The Room is an awful, unwatchable movie. If you have not seen it, say some extra thank yous to God when you're going to bed tonight, all right? But the story of the movie itself is a story of redemption. This is a little bit meta, but so The Room was made. It was this awful movie. Everyone who saw it hated it and regretted that they made the choice to see this movie. But then it got a little bit of a cult following that it was such a terrible movie, and people started watching it together to make fun of how bad it is. And they, more and more people, it was bringing people together. And they have midnight screenings now where you can go and watch The Room and make fun of it, and they quote things at certain parts and laugh. And there's a thing that has to do with spoons. Spoon! Oh! What have I done? Pastor Chris, it's over. I'm out of here. So, yes, it's bringing people together. And we got that on camera. Then in 2017, James Franco made a movie about the making of The Room. It was called The Disaster Artist. And it was actually a very good movie. And these things kind of redeem this terrible movie at the core of all this stuff. God can redeem any story. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's sort of a similar story in the Bible. The main character is just a jerk almost the whole time. He doesn't turn around at the end, and it is my favorite book in the Bible. Of course, I'm talking about the book of Jonah. All right? You're all probably familiar, Jonah and the whale and stuff, but I'm going to give you a brief recap. But it's a short book. It's only 4 chapters. So as homework, I encourage you all to go and read it yourself and see if my interpretation, what I get out of it, matches what you get out of it. So the story is Jonah is a prophet of God. He can hear God talk to him. And God tells him, go to Nineveh and tell them I'm going to destroy them. And Jonah says, I don't want to do that. Nineveh was a city full of people that hated Israel. And because of their evil, God was going to destroy them. He said, go tell them, Jonah. And Jonah said, you know what? I'm actually going to go the other direction. And he got on a boat headed in almost the opposite direction from Nineveh. I don't know what his thinking was there. Like, if I get far enough away, God will just be like, eh, whatever. Never mind. That's fine. If I can outrun God, you're out of your jurisdiction. What? What are you doing, man? Come on. Anyway, the boat has problems. There's a storm, and the boat's in trouble. It's going to sink. And they find out Jonah, from Jonah, I'm running away from God. God told me to do a thing, I'm doing the opposite, and that's probably why this storm is happening to you guys, so I don't want you to get hurt, just throw me overboard. And they're like, we don't want to kill somebody, but at the same time, you seem cool with it, and we want to save our boat, so see you later. And that should be the end of the story. He should have drowned. But God sends a giant fish that swallows him, and he stays alive inside of it for 3 days. And in that time, he repents and prays to God, and God spares him. And the fish spits him up. He goes to Nineveh. He says what he's supposed to say. And then the people of Nineveh listen. They repent, and they turn to God and pray and say, please don't destroy us. And God says, okay.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Well, but meanwhile, Jonah, the guy the book is named after, has camped out on a hill nearby, and he's sitting there eating his popcorn, waiting to watch the city get destroyed because he doesn't like them. And then he finds out God is not going to do it, and he gets irate. I didn't want to come in the first place because I knew you were going to do something like this. Now you're going to spare them? Ugh. And you just had me go tell them that you were going to destroy them, so I told them something that wasn't true, that isn't going to happen. Now I look like an idiot. But at the same time, he was a bit of an optimist, so he's like, well, I'm going to camp out here in case God changes his mind because I really want to see that. So he's sitting there watching and waiting, and God has a plant grow up that gives him some shade, and he really likes it. And then God sends a worm that bites through the stem of the plant. Plant dies. He gets irate again. And God says, it looks like you're kind of upset about that plant. And he says, yes, I'm so mad I want to die. He was a bit dramatic. But God says, hey, look, you're so mad about this one plant that just died. Do you see that there was 120,000 people in that city, plus livestock that just didn't die? End of the book. That's it. Jonah doesn't respond. There isn't any kind of like, oh, lesson learned. The more you know, knowing is half the battle. Nothing. It just ends. And I love it. I love that book. I love it for multiple reasons. One, it features giant sea life. If you were here for my previous message, you know about that. But also, there is redemption present in this story, right? Do you see it? Yes. So Jonah, in the fish, he should be dead. He should be double dead. Like, he's in the water, but then a fish eats him and pulls him under. But no, God brings him back out to fulfill God's purpose on his life. And then the people of Nineveh, they hear this message, and they turn around. They don't say, oh, this is one of those jerks from Israel, boo this guy. They say, oh man, if he's right, we're in trouble. Yeah. And so they fall on their knees and pray that God would spare them, and he does. But there's one more that's really subtle, and this is the one that I really like. There are details in the story that only Jonah and God could know, like his prayer inside of the fish. Nobody else was around to hear it. So the only way we know those details is if Jonah wrote them down or told someone. But Jonah doesn't really look that good in this story, so why would he share it? Hey, you want to hear the story of the time I was a huge jerk? No, that's not typically what people talk about. Unless, in the end, he got it and realized, look at the incredible things that God did here. Despite me being in the way the whole time. Look at what God was still able to do. So in the end, I tend to believe that he was redeemed. And Jonah is one of the few prophets that Jesus mentions by name. And I'm kind of skeptical that Jesus would name drop a jerk who never got with the program. That's just me. But we know about Jonah's story because Jonah shared his story. He had to have. We need to be brave enough to share our stories. That is the only way stories persist and get passed on. That's the only way other people can learn from our stories, is if we share them. If I have a really great story and I just keep it to myself and never let anybody else know about it, then it's going to die with me. It's gone. But we need to share our stories. And our story is the story of God working in us and through us. So tell that story. Amen?
Amen.
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 Telling our story to others is also known as giving our testimony. Now, that can be a scary word to some people. You can give a testimony in court. That sounds kind of frightening to me. I hope I never have to do that. But then there's another meaning in religious circles, testify, where you share your testimony and you share how you came to faith in God. You share what God has done in your life. People have mixed feelings about doing that, about standing up and doing that in front of other people. But we need to share it. We need to know our testimony and be able to share our testimony with other people. And God tells us it's important. If you look in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 11, they triumphed over him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Our testimony is how we overcome.
Right.
It is part of how we triumph.
Yeah.
So we need to be able to share our testimony. We need to be able to share our story.
Yes.
As I said, I love stories. I love hearing your stories. I love sharing stories. I love telling stories. But the person I know the most stories about is me, because I lived them. I love telling stories about me, all glory to God, because some of them are really weird, and I like weird stories. But I could tell you some stories that would make you wonder how this guy is a care pastor in a church. And the story of how I came to be a care pastor is a story in itself. I could tell you the story of so I got a lot of stories. I don't have time to actually tell you them. I can just tell you about a couple of them. But ask me later, and I'll be glad to tell you my stories. I could tell you the story of the time I hit myself in the head with a hatchet. I could tell you the story of the time that I worked illegally as a boat captain. I could tell you the story of the time I built tentacle robots. These are all true. I built tentacle robots, and eventually that got me to Australia. I can tell you about the time I met John Glenn, and it kind of shut down a NASA center. I can tell you about riding out hurricanes. I can tell you about the time I volunteered at the Red Cross after Hurricane Katrina, but my main job was climbing over cubicle walls to unlock doors when all the other people locked themselves out of their cubes. I can tell you about a certain birthday that Pastor Chris had at Humperdinck's where I convinced the restaurant manager to play that really awful version of Oh Holy Night over the PA system in the whole restaurant. And I might have told the manager that was Chris singing.
Oh my God.
Sorry, Pastor. I can tell you about the time my apartment living room was just filled with shoes, just filled with basketball shoes. We ended up giving them to Vitaly Kiesel.
Yeah.
Really happened. I can tell you about the time God helped me miraculously, led me to a place I had never been. I'd never set foot. God guided me there to find my friend's lost cell phone.
It happened.
I can tell you about the business trip that I went on that ended up resulting in on-the-cuff prayer meeting on the sidewalks of Providence, Rhode Island. It was amazing. I can tell you about this picture. Yeah! How did this come to be? Why does that exist? But, I can tell you the story of how I got it on IMDb for a little while. I can tell you the story of how I got it on NASA's official website for a little while. And then I can tell you the story of how doing that might have cost me a job. But it ended up working out, all right? I can tell you the story of how I met my wife, Jessica. And that story gets a little rocky at times. But it ends up being a great story. I could tell you a lot of stories. Several are funny. Some I'm proud of. But if you asked, I could also tell you other stories that aren't so fun. I could tell you some stories that I'm not proud of. I could tell you stories of pain. I could tell you stories of anxiety. I could tell you stories of losing people, some of them I didn't get to say goodbye to. I could tell you stories about times when I wasn't a very good husband or a very good father. I could tell you stories about times when I wasn't a very good Christian. One reason we don't like to tell our story is because sometimes it involves telling those stories too. Sometimes it can feel like those are our only stories. But if we believe in a God who redeems, then these bad stories are part of a bigger picture. They are all things that we overcame in our journey to grow closer to God. And we need to get that perspective. As I said, our story is the story of God working in us and through us. He's not finished yet, so there's going to be some rocky times. But he's there. He was there in all those bad stories. I had to get past all of those negative stories in order to be where I am today. And my story includes telling how God helped me along the way and how he put people in my life that lifted me up when I was really low. Thank you, God. God can redeem any story. I was really disappointed at the time when I didn't get that job with NASA. For several years, NASA and space stuff had been my whole world. And then they gave me the call that they decided to give that job to somebody else. And I was devastated. But that wasn't the end of the story. If I had gotten that job, I wouldn't be here now. I wouldn't have met my wife. I wouldn't have my beautiful children. And I wouldn't be part of Redemption Church. I wouldn't know you all. So thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for my story. And the story of our church, the story of Redemption Church, is a story of redemption. If you're not aware, in 2012, on Easter week, something happened that should have killed this church. A church this size should not have survived, ever. But we did. And we are stronger today than we were back then. Thank you, God. He brought us through that. He can bring any of us through the things that we're facing. Most of the people in the Bible are telling their story. It's stories of people. And a lot of those stories are stories of redemption. Just here recently, we talked about the story of Samson. He made some really bad choices in his life. But at the very end, he turned back to God and he reached out in prayer and he ended up doing something good at the very end of his life. There's the story of Abraham and Isaac. God called on Abraham to sacrifice his son. But at the last minute, God said, no, that was a test. Here is a ram, sacrifice that. Don't sacrifice your son. So Isaac was redeemed. And in a way, Abraham was redeemed from having to do that. Yes. Amen. There's the story of Joseph. God lifted him up from the very lowest of the low places, the dungeon, and put him as the second highest person in the land of Egypt. Thank you very much. Oh, appreciate it. There's the story of the Apostle Paul. He used to be Saul, a guy who hated and did awful things to believers in Christ. And then he became one of the foremost believers in Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. There's the story of Simon Peter. Man, he was all on board. He was ready to die for Jesus until he actually saw Jesus on trial. And then, I never met that guy. I don't know anything about him. And if you accuse me of knowing him, I'll curse at you.
Yeah,
great job. But just in the same way that Jesus met him as a fisherman and said, follow me. Jesus met him again while he was fishing and said, Peter, do you love me? Come on, feed my sheep.
Yes.
And he became one of the fathers of the church.
Yes, he did. Thank you.
There's a story of a guy named Barabbas. He was a murderer. He was in jail and set to be executed. But Jesus literally took his place. And Jesus died on his cross.
Yes.
There's a story of this guy. We don't even know his name. But he was hanging on the cross next to Jesus. And he went from making fun of this guy to realizing, hey, wait a second. He didn't do anything wrong. I know why I'm up here. I did something that deserves to be crucified. He did nothing wrong, and he's praying for the people that are doing it to him.
Jesus.
Hey, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus turned to him and said, you will be with me today in paradise.
Yes.
That is a story of redemption.
Yes.
That is a story of triumph.
My God.
God can redeem any story, and God can redeem your story.
Yes.
If God can do all that, then he can redeem your story too. He can redeem my story, all of our stories. If you believe in a God who can do anything, then why would you think he couldn't redeem your story?
Uh-huh.
Not only that, redeeming isn't just what he does, it's who he is.
Yeah.
Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and
redemption.
Redemption.
Wow, there it is.
Has become for us redemption.
Yes.
Jesus is redemption. He can redeem your story, and you just have to embrace him.
Yes.
In Jesus, you can literally embrace and receive redemption.
Yes.
And he's already done it. Remember the memory verse from last month? It was Isaiah 43. It started in verse 1. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. He has redeemed us. Past tense. It's already done. Look at Colossians chapter 1, 13 and 14. For he has rescued us from the domination of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, God. We have redemption already. In whom do we have redemption?
Jesus.
Amen. If we already have redemption through Jesus, then why don't we act like it? You have been bought at a great price. You had a really huge debt, and it has been cleared. You have been saved from some really awful stuff. So why aren't you telling that story? Amen. One reason we don't tell our story is because we can feel like our story isn't really a story of redemption. And maybe it's not even that great of a story. Some people feel like, you know, I believe in Jesus. I know there was redemption there. I know that. But I'm not that remarkable. I'm not even that great of a Christian. My story is boring. There's no great moment of redemption or triumph there. My story's lame. It's the room. No one would even want to hear it. Lies, lies, lies. Child of God, you underestimate yourself.
Yes.
You are a beautiful and precious thing to him.
Yes.
You are capable of doing mighty things and overcoming impossibly difficult things.
Yes.
You have an amazing story. It isn't finished yet.
Thank
Your story isn't over yet. Everything that's happened up till now was just the lead-in. That's just the prelude. The great triumphant redemption can begin right now. As soon as you decide, repent, turn to God more fully. He is redemption. If you are hearing this message and you don't feel like you have a story worth sharing, consider this. You got here somehow. You're here. You're hearing this. God brought you to this moment where you're hearing this message. I don't know how you got here. Maybe you're watching this video in 2023. Hi, Sean. Thank you for finally checking it out. But God has brought you to this moment, and now you have the opportunity to make a decision. Will you just go on living your boring story life? Or will you step out on faith and take a step towards God and let the plot twist that makes your story epic take place? Does redemption begin now? You write your story. That's your call to make. And you have an opportunity right now to step out on faith, to reach out toward God and embrace that redemption. You know how it works. Every week at the end of service, we invite everybody to gather up front here and spend some time talking to God. The God of creation is available to you. Why wouldn't you take advantage of that opportunity? So come on, these altars are open. Spend some time talking to God about your story. What does He have for your story? He is redemption. If you need your story turned around, reach out to Him. He has incredible things for you. Talk to Him and find out what they are. If you would like special prayer, please stand within a couple feet of the platform and we would be happy to pray with you. But don't miss this moment. Don't miss this opportunity. Talk to God.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.